You are listening to Riff Overcast.
It's our game. Not the one we made, it's the one we play.
The team here plays the game a lot.
We really think differently about MMOs than what a lot of people do.
Our game isn't the game it was a year ago.
This game changes all the time. Since launch, we've been non-stop planning on what to do next.
It's all about listening to the players.
Hello and welcome back to Rift Overcast. My name is Matt, and with me as always, I have Joe.
Hello.
It's great to get things rolling again, and with that, let's roll right into the announcements. The poll results from 3 weeks ago. How do you feel about crowd control effects in PvP being limited to two before immunity kicks in? For those who aren't aware, the crowd control mechanics in PvP, after you've been hit by two control mechanics within, I forget the exact window, I believe it's something like 6 seconds apart from each other, you become immune to crowd control for an allotted time, which I believe is also 6 seconds. The options were, it's fine the way it is, this needs a complete rework, a little tweaking may be in order, I don't care one way or the other, not sure I don't PvP. The majority of voters actually voted not sure I don't PvP. There were 8 votes for that. Then there were 6 votes for it's fine the way it is, 4 for this needs a complete rework, 4 for a little tweaking may be in order, and 1 for I don't care one way or the other. Out of 23 voters, it's pretty close between people that think it's fine the way it is and people that just don't PvP. I voted on this poll. I know I shouldn't vote on my own polls, but I voted on this poll because I really think this needs a complete rework. Not to get too into it, like too off topic here, I don't want to spend too much time on it, but and sorry to reference the game again, the game, but WoW took a long time to get this under control, and I really think that as much as I'm bored of that game, WoW still has one of the better systems for dealing with crowd control in PvP, because they've actually ordered or created classes, like categories, for all the different crowd control effects, and they share diminishing returns with each other, such as a cyclone and a stun are going to be on different diminishing return counters. And I really think that Rift needs something like that, because with the way it is right now, it pretty much makes it so that several of the soul combinations just aren't viable in PvP right now, because they rely on being able to control their target. And you can't do that past 2. And if somebody else has hit that target with a crowd control, yours is going to be completely ineffective. But we can cover more on that next week, because next week, episode 7, we're going to have another community voice segment for you. Chris N, aka Mythblaze from the forums, is going to be coming on the show to talk with us a bit about PvP. A few announcements for Rift. Planner Attunement Tier 3 has officially been delayed. I believe it's still on the PTS right now. They're going to pretty much let the testing run as it's in its current form right now. And then when the testing is over, they are not going to be releasing Planner Attunement Tier 3 with 1.8. They're going to continue to work on that, which I'm glad to hear that, honestly, because people have said it on the forums, you know, and I'm in the same boat, that most people haven't even finished their Tier 2 yet anyways. So it might just be too early.
Well, that plus Tier 3 had the exact same passives. There was like one new thing every tree. People wanted much more diverse choices with the third tree.
Yeah, I mean, I know that Tryon doesn't really want the Planar Attunement to be anything game-changing. You know, it's supposed to be something that's fun, where you can get a sense of accomplishment and some bonuses that are attainable past level 50, and it's a good way to use the experience, the excess experience that you're going to be getting that would otherwise be completely wasted by doing quests and dailies and raiding and 5-mans and whatever. I like the Planar Attunement enough. I think a lot of people like the Planar Attunement enough that it should be more powerful. You know, it should be more desirable. There should be more to it other than just repeating the same passive bonuses and making you have to grind out more points to get them.
It's a really hard balance, though, because if you make it too powerful, then people who are fresh 50s are, you know, a huge disadvantage.
Well, I mean, yes and no. I mean, if you're not working on the most recent content, like if you're not working on Infernal Dawn, you don't need the Tier 3. You know, if you're just working on Greenscale's Blight and River of Souls and such and trying to kind of catch up or whatever, if you're a fresh 50, you're in a new guild, it's fine to just be working on your Planar Entombment Tier 1.
Yeah, but what if you're like a fresh guild, right? And, you know, a veteran player, you kind of, not necessarily restarting, but you're, I don't know, starting a guild, so you're kind of doing, going backwards to re-clear Hammernail or something, but you're already like fully cleared or fully done your Tier 2, you have at least some bonuses to your stats, whereas someone who's like completely new to that content, you know, a character like just hit 50 pretty recently, they're going to have a lot of those passives that are missing.
I mean, the other thing you have to consider too is that the Planar Attunement bonuses are actually pretty low, to be honest, that they're not anything game-changing. You know, you're not going to be unable to defeat Mordantix or Achilleos and Hammernail if you don't have, like, your Planar Attunement Tier 1, Tier 2 maxed out. It's not going to break the fight for you. But the way Planar Attunement is set up, it also is the more you have, the more beneficial it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think that's why they delayed it, because like you said, they don't want it to be game-changing, but at the same time, they don't, you know, they saw the feedback they were getting in the PTS. People said what I said, that the passes are exactly the same, so they have to find like a middle ground between being game-changing and, you know, shit, dull, to be honest.
Yeah, it should be desirable. It maybe not necessary, but a very desirable bonus to go after, not just a grind. Infernal Dawn has also been delayed until God knows when. They haven't given us a date. I don't think it's going to be too long, but they're still working some stuff out. They want to make sure that it's completely finished, that everything is worked out. I'm fine with this. I'll wait another month. I'm not one of those, you know, I'm not in a guild that's working on, or that's farming Hammernail rather, and is just working on getting ready for Infernal Dawn, and that's all I'm waiting on. So it's a lot easier for me to say that I'm okay with waiting for it, but I mean, I really am, because there's still some bugs around Rift, you know, little minor things mostly, and when a new raid comes out, there's so much potential for all these little bugs. Guilds downing stuff because they found some kind of exploit, or guilds unable to kill a boss because he's completely bugged. I think when Mordantix first came out, when Hammernail first came out, Mordantix was bugged like this. There was, I don't remember exactly what the bug was, but there was something with the tars that he drops on the ground, and he was way easier to down because of it. I'm okay with them taking that extra time to just polish it off and make sure that, you know, we're not going to run into that when it first comes out.
I actually am more disappointed that 1.8 as a whole is being delayed. Because, like, you know, me and you obviously aren't going to be seeing Infernal Dawn very soon. We hope to, you know, get things rolling with our guild and progress fast. But the raid wasn't even planned to, you know, obviously come out exactly when 1.8 came out. Most people were guessing at the end of the event, which I believe was like May 12th or something it ended. Which now they've delayed the end of the event till, I think, a week after that or something like that. So most people are guessing, you know, that's when it'll come out. But I think in their official message about it, the date getting pushed back, they're very vague, which is good, because I hate when developers, like, say, oh, we're pushing back a week, and then, like, they don't actually meet that date, or they rush to meet that date, and, you know, like you said, bugs are still in it.
Yeah, I'm okay with not having a date for it. I mean, it'll happen when it happens. The biggest thing in 1.8 is Infernal Dawn, and probably the new crafting as well, which we'll get to later, survival and fishing. Yay, fishing! Get to click a lure. Lathys teaser art has been released, and that dragon looks amazing. Like, seriously? I'm so jealous of guilds that can go straight into Infernal Dawn when it comes out, because Lathys and Malforge look ridiculous.
I honestly, as cool as that dragon looks, I'm more intrigued by the dynamics and the mechanics of the fight that they keep. I mean, like, we had talked off air, they keep talking about there's going to be new things in the fight. And I told you that I don't think there's necessarily going to be like anything groundbreaking in the fight. I think it's going to be so many old mechanics in one fight that it's going to be like a whole new experience, because it's so many other aspects like combined, essentially.
Well, you never know. I mean, Tryon has gotten several updates to the game engine, to the game Biro engine, which myself and a lot of other people aren't fans of the game Biro engine. But game Biro has been coming out. They've been updating the engine consistently, you know, so it's an up-to-date engine. It's just been around for a long time. With that has come a lot of optimizations and a lot of new technology that Triumph's been able to apply to the game and game mechanics and such, which that was always something that held World of Warcraft back, was towards the end the engine that Blizzard had for World of Warcraft was just, it was just capped. It was, they couldn't do anything new really with mechanics because the engine just couldn't perform it.
Oh yeah, but I think that even when they released the new mechanics, it might look and be graphically like more appealing and look different, but it's going to be very similar to a previous mechanic. It just has like a new twist on it, essentially.
It could be, but I mean, supposedly Lathys, I mean, regardless of what the mechanics actually are, it's going to be kind of fun. Is graphically, she's supposed to, I believe, change form several times throughout the fight because she is a dragon comprised completely of treasure.
If I remember correctly, I'm pretty sure watching a video interview with one of the developers and them saying that boss can actually turn into, like, a pile of ooze.
Lathys can turn into a pile of ooze? Like, melted gold?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Like you just said, melted gold. Like, it's going to take on so many different forms that's what they're banking on being, like, you know, new and revolutionary.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait to see that fight. I can't. Like, I really... These Infernal Dawn guys that are set up and ready to go are probably going to have the video of Lathys out in like a couple of months, and I'm not even going to want to watch it. I'm going to have to seriously refrain from like going to YouTube and searching for Lathys Mail Forge fights. I want to clarify something that I was talking about earlier, one of the previous episodes, was the tooltip for Marks of Ascension and Greater Marks of Ascension currently in-game read that they were awarded for Tier 1 and Tier 2 raids, and then Greater Marks of Ascension said they were rewarded for Tier 3 raids. The tooltip still needs a little bit of work. I was talking to a GM about this, saying that there's still a couple of things that could be kind of confusing about the tooltip, but it was clarified to me that in 1.7, it was actually in the patch notes. I completely missed it. Tier 1 content is considered to be a normal rifts, experts, and I believe expert rifts. And then Tier 1 is your Tier 1 raid rifts, and your Tier 2 is your Tier 1 raid rifts, and your Tier 1 raid content. And then Tier 2 is actually Harmonel, which means that the raid currency is not going to be changing for 1.8. Marks of Ascension is still going to be from Greenscale's Blight, Guild of Prophecy, River of Souls, etc. And Greater Marks of Ascension are going to be Harmonel. And then there's going to be the Infernal Marks of Ascension for Infernal Dawn.
And we talked about this off air, that I actually like this change, because if they would have continued to push the, you know, marks down, the one you trivialize content, which, like I said earlier, I hate mentioning the game, but World of Warcraft is like the epitome of this. This is why the game went downhill after Burning Crusade. Because everything from Wrath of the Lich King on continually trivialized content. And even Cataclysm, which tried to reclaim its former glory, as good and hard as the content was so obsolete once a next tier was released.
That's the real key thing right there, though. You said two words that I want to point out real quick. You said trivialize and obsolete, which I think are two different things. World of Warcraft obsoleted its content. When a new raid came out, the previous raid became completely worthless because they would put stuff on the vendors and be like, here, you can just get this. Rift is trivializing content already anyways. I mean, on our server, on Deepwood, and this probably happened on other servers as well, they cleared 11 out of 11 in a complete pug of Hammernail. They killed Achilleos. How is that not trivializing content? So when people are complaining that, like, oh, we don't want to see, you know, you be able to get Hammernail gear with normal Marks of Ascension, you can get it just as easily as it is, like, anyways. I mean, you can just pug HK each week. There are guilds out there that are not even set up, don't even have enough people for HK, that are just running pugs, and that's just what they do. And they're just running weekly HK pugs with, like, the same pugs every week. I mean, that it's already so easy to do, why would it really matter if you just bought it with an easier currency?
I think that the nerfs, like we had said before in previous episodes, I think the nerfs came too early, frankly. I think that's, you know, if you had the nerfs after Infernal Dawn came out, it would make much more sense. Especially if they kept the currency, you know, like how they're, like, you know, what they're doing, basically. Then you could advance through those previous instances slightly easier because of much minor nerfs. Because I think the nerfs, it wasn't so much the amount of nerfs, it's just how hard they hit. Literally making fights completely trivial because, like, main mechanics, which, you know, made the fights so difficult in the first place, are either completely removed or nerfed to the point where they're, like, stupid easy to avoid, or you don't even worry about them. You just push through the fight regardless.
Yeah, and I haven't looked at the PTS patch notes recently, but I believe there's even more nerfs going through for HK right now on the PTS.
I always, like, people always have this argument, you know, which, like again with World of Warcraft, it was the same issue, and it's really hard to balance because do you really like? I think it would make more sense, at least for me, if they made it so that like Greenskull's Blight and all Tier 1 content was really easy. I really don't think they should be nerfing Hammernail stuff this early. Sure, that maybe they should do nerfs to it, but like I just said, I don't think it should be as harsh or as frequently as they have been nerfing it. It would make so much more sense if, you know, they kind of made like Greenskull's Blight and all Tier 1 content basically obsolete, because like you said, trivializing and obsolete, there really isn't that much of a difference. You still run it when it's trivialized, but it's so easy, what's the difference? And then if Hammernail was still a challenge, that would actually be pretty cool, because if you were forming a new guild like we are, you could advance through Greenskull's Blight, get the gear, and then still experience like Hammernail, you know, how it was when it was released. And you wouldn't be so far behind, you'd only be one tier behind. Granted, they aren't making it like WoW, where it's like literally you hit max level and you jump to the highest tier, but they're basically making it where you hit max level, you spend a few weeks clearing previous content through pugs, and then you go to that. So it's not, you know, they're bridging the gap. They're not like, you know, completely removing the gap, but it's not that much of a difference.
Yeah, it just feels almost unnecessary to even go through some of this earlier content.
Can't really argue with that, but like I said, I really think it's a hard thing to decide when you're a game developer, because you either keep the content as hard as it was, but then you alienate casual players entirely, because why would they, you know, they're not going to have
Well,
the
yeah,
time or the
at
devotion to
some
do
point
that.
you have to do it. You know, at some point you have to obsolete the previous content, or at least make it so trivial that you can just roll straight through it. But it's the Hammernail nerfs that really I think are getting a lot of people and are kind of getting me is Greenskull's Blight was out when the game first came out. The game's been out for years. Greenskull's Blight is a year old. Who gives a
Yeah.
crap? Nobody gives a crap anymore. But Hammernail was what, last July, I think? Hammernail's been
It
about
was
6 months.
June or July. I think it was the tail end of June.
I mean, that's still new enough, I think. And Hammernail was awesome too, because like I remember telling you this too when I first started playing, that I loved Rift. I loved a lot of the stuff in the game. I wasn't a fan of the animations, and I was kind of giving you like my little review, you know, my first impressions review. And I was looking at the boss fights on YouTube for like Greenskull's Blight and stuff, and I was like, well, the mechanics of these seem really cool, but I was very unimpressed by the cave that Greenskull's Blight is, you know, takes place in. It's just the giant leaf maze, and I was it looks boring to me. I still don't really like that place. And then Hammernail comes out. And Hammernail is just amazing. Like, it reminds me of like Karazhan on crack.
Yeah, and it's what set the bar for Inferno Dawn. I really think that's why they've spent so much time on Inferno Dawn, because they set the bar so high that if they were to release anything even like moderately, you know, disappointing, there'd be so much
Exactly.
like hatred towards them, basically.
Hammernail basically sets, like you said, it set the bar. This is what raids are going to be like in Rift. Like, anything before Hammernail is like, this is what we could do before. Then Hammernail is like, we've got this new technology. This is what raids are going to be now. So basically, as far as I'm concerned, your raiding experience begins at Hammernail, which is why it shouldn't be nerfed so damn hard.
Which is why moving the currency down wouldn't be that bad, because then, you know, like you said, you could pretty much, I don't know if you'd want to completely skip over Greenscale or just, I mean, what's the difference between rolling through it really fast and completely skip it? But then once you get to Hammernail, like that's when the rating starts. I mean, I understand casual people and people who are new to the game, they're not going to want to be going through previous content when there's like something new out. But I really don't think being one tier behind is really that bad. Honestly, I actually think it's fun catching up to the current, you know, player base. I think that's like a really big thrill, like pushing through that.
I agree. I don't mind playing catch up. I don't know if I consider it a big thrill, but I don't mind playing catch up. I like at least that when the earlier gear, the earlier tier stuff becomes easier to attain, it's fun because you get that sense of progression of with your own character a lot faster. You can acquire it faster, so it's a lot more fun to go through it. But you know, on the same topic, on the current PTS, Infernal Marks are apparently available from the daily randoms, and this has got people talking too, because it's all based around the same thing, is how easy is it to catch up to the new tier, and people really disagree with you being able to get Infernal Marks from the daily random. You're only going to be able to get one. I really don't see what the big deal is. Like, I understand their concern, but it's going to take you, if you can get one Infernal Mark per day, it's going to take you 50 days just to get one piece.
Well, I think the biggest problem people have with this is they didn't make you get, or allow you to get, I should say, greater marks of ascension, you know, in order to get Hammer Knight gear until, if I remember reading the post date correctly, it was either the tail end of November or early December, somewhere around there. So that was like a big, you know, gap between when Hammer Knight came out. I think they're not so much mad that you can do it, just that you can do it so early on, because like a Throne of Dawn's going to come out and bam, you can get the currency. They wish there's some sort of gap. And I can't really blame them for this. They almost think this is like a foreshadowing of like the future, that the game will slowly, you know, but surely get more and more casual, which I really can't blame anyone for thinking that, because numerous games have went down this path. So, you know, why wouldn't they think the same thing with this game?
Well, yeah, but Rift has always kept a sort of reputation for being the hardcore MMO. If you want hardcore raiding, you play Rift. If you want to sign in, do two raids, sign out in a matter of a few hours, you play World of Warcraft. And I think Trion knows that, and I think that's what Trion wants. They want it to be a challenge. They want this to be an attraction to the game, and they're okay with whatever subscriber numbers they have. It's obviously enough that they're very successful. Rift has been extremely successful and continues to do so.
Just to play devil's advocate here, I mean, World of Warcraft was so insanely popular during Burning Crusade and Vanilla. But once they realized that if they carried the casual, they wouldn't just be successful. They would be, like, so gargantuan in scope and scale that they were just like, all right, let's do it. And they've progressively gotten worse and worse as the years have progressed. So, I mean...
Yeah, and now the game is bleeding out.
Well, that's... I think that's mainly not necessarily, though, because of the game and the direction. Well, I think it's just because the game's old. If the game was still, like, three, you know, the engine wasn't so dated and people weren't just straight-up tired with the lore and the content, you know what I mean? I don't think it's a direct result of how casual it went. Because, I mean, look, Tor is a huge reflection of that, too. Tor went down basically the exact same path. So, and I think Tor is going to be successful. Obviously, it's never going to reach... I don't think any game ever will reach the heights that WoW went in terms of numbers, because those are numerous factors that went into that. But I do think it will be a very healthy game for a very long time.
Well, you see a lot of the same complaints if you ever read Star Wars forums at all, Old Republic forums, that the raid content in SWTOR is just obscenely easy. I mean, people are really upset, and it's a big part of why people are leaving, is because they got to 50 in that game. They got into, what do they call them, the operations, I think.
Yeah, the operations.
They got into the operations, they cleared the two existing operations, and they left. Because there's just nothing else at all outside
well,
of that,
yeah.
And they cleared them way too fast. People are seeking a challenge, I think. Whether you're coming from Star Wars, or World of Warcraft, or EverQuest, or whatever you played before Rift, people are coming to Rift looking for a challenge.
I think it also has to do with, like, content release schedules. Because, I mean, if you can see...
Oh, absolutely.
WoW now talked about their new expansion, that they're going to make the release schedule much more strict. And I'm sorry, but that is definitely the direct reflection of Rift. There's no, like, getting around that. And I think Tor now has said the same thing. Because, like I said, I don't think... As much as, like, I'm against being casual, there are plenty of people who would continue to play World of Warcraft and Tor... Until, you know, the game literally has the server shut down, assuming that the release schedule was better, essentially. I think a lot of people leave WoW and Tor, like you just said, not even so much because the content was easy, but just because they cleared it and they're like, hey, what's next? I'm not sitting around for 3 months just waiting. You know what I mean? So if there was content out right now, they'd be doing it.
Well, it kind of goes hand in hand, don't you think? The difficulty of content and the release rate at which you get the new content. Because the easier the content is, the faster you have to release the new content, because the faster people are going to be clearing the old stuff. And when it comes to Rift, you know, the content has always been very challenging. Hammer Knight, even with the nerfs, I mean, comparatively, the bosses are a joke, comparatively. But even with the nerfs, you still got to have the gear for it, you still got to be on your toes. Some of the fights are almost tank and spank at this point, but other ones just have so many mechanics going on in them that you still need to know the fight, you still need to learn the fight. So there's still enough of a challenge there, and content is coming out in Rift like faster than any of the casual ones, right? So in Rift, it's not like I just cleared all the easy stuff, where's my new content, I'm out of stuff to do. In Rift, it's new content just came out, crap, I'm not done this yet, you know. And that's not more of the attraction. And my point is that it all goes hand in hand. Is the difficulty kind of throttles back how fast you go through the content, but then they stay way ahead of the game with releasing the content at the pace that they're releasing it, so that you always have something to look forward to. It's not like you're just trying to keep up with the player base, it's you're staying ahead of the player base, and that's the real key.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they definitely go hand in hand. I think, though, that WoW and Tor are in the same boat in the sense that there really isn't any other activity to do. Besides, like you said earlier, if you want to play World of Warcraft, you raid for a few hours, a couple of days a week, and you sign off. I think they're similar in that. But I think the one thing that they actually differ on is that if you do, like, there's still a lot of hardcore guilds that play WoW because hard modes, or heroic, whatever you want to call it, is still very challenging. Tor, like you just said, even they released three difficulties, which I actually thought that was a good thing because I thought that casuals would all flock to normal and, you know, people like us would basically just jump right to, I think it's called heroic mode, then the hardest one is nightmare mode, I forget. But it actually seems to be a detriment because I occasionally read patch notes and they constantly tweak the difficulties. Like, nightmare mode has been buffed up so high and then it was nerfed. I think that's the problem. There's no, like, WoW, you do hard mode, you clear through the regular stuff. If you're a hardcore guild, you go right to hard modes. But even nightmare mode, from what I've been reading, really isn't that challenging. So I think if that was more challenging, coupled with a better release schedule, they'd still have players, but still, they don't have side activities. So they only cater to the people, like you said before, come on, raid a few hours, sign off. Because there's literally nothing else to do.
I think that's another attraction to Rift raiding, honestly, too, is like you said, there's normal, heroic, and nightmare. That's all the same content. Yes, it's being made more and more difficult for you, but it's the same content, you know, and I really dislike games just adding different levels of difficulty for the same content. I like the way Rift is set up, that Hammernell is Hammernell. You know, Infernal Dawn, that's Infernal Dawn. Like, period. You're either ready for it or you're not. I like that. And you're never seeing the same content over and over, like, past, like, farming it, you know what I mean, for gear or whatever. It's not like you just farmed out normal Infernal Dawn and now you're going to go back and do Nightmare Mode Infernal Dawn. That's kind of like an excuse, too, when you think about it. I think for developers, I think it's a lazy way out. Because they're like, well, most of the, you know, player base has cleared normal mode, but they're all still working on Nightmare Mode. We've got 6 more months till we can release a new raid.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've said it a million times. Burning Crusade, to me, is the best era of World of Warcraft, and at least up to this date, it's still my favorite era of an MMO. And that's because, well, for numerous reasons, but probably most importantly, what you just said, they didn't have hard modes and whatnot. And once they introduced, you know, a second level of difficulty, the game went downhill. Obviously, there are other factors, but that was a huge one. I think it's hard as a developer, though, because I do hate when they use excuses like that, you know, because they really do that. Like, WoW really sees that a lot of people don't clear content, and that is a huge point of that people stress on the forums. Like, oh, they haven't released content because, you know, like 1% of the community has actually cleared heroic. It's like, well, first of all, only a small minority actually raid in any MMO. Never mind just WoW. So that's a bad excuse. It's hard for them because they want to, you know, attract all types of players, but if they keep it how Rift is, they're never going to do that. So that's why I actually, like, appreciate what China has done so far. And I hope that they continue doing it. I really wouldn't be, like, completely blown out of the water if they ever changed that, though. And it wouldn't be that bad if they did hard modes and normals, because there are certain encounters in WoW where the fight almost gets completely changed because of, you know, the new mechanics introduced. Those are the ones I don't mind. The ones that are literally the exact same one, only, oh, the boss hits harder, those are the ones I just, like, bang my head against the wall.
Yeah, but if you're going to spend that much development time to completely change a fight or add like 8 new mechanics to worry about in a boss fight, why not just make a brand new boss?
Well, that's exactly the point. They want casuals to do normal and hardcores to do hardcore. That's literally the only reason they do that. I mean, if you could point out another reason for why they would do that, like, I would love to be enlightened. Because, like you just said, they could just make more, you know, more raids and more encounters in general, not just make, you know, flip a switch, essentially.
Well, we got off on a little bit of a tangent. Let me just ask you, because I'm kind of curious what your definitive opinion is about Infernal Marks being available from the daily random.
I don't think it's that bad, because like you said, I'm assuming you only get one, or has that even been confirmed? Well, I doubt it's going to be more than one. I don't even know. I shouldn't even have asked that, because if it was two,
it's on the PTS, but I didn't see any post that said how many it is, but if it's anything more than one, then I'd probably be on the side of people saying that don't do it. This is a bad idea, but I don't see it being more than one.
Yeah, I think that'd be stupid as well. One is, like I said before, I think people are more mad that it's getting introduced so early, not that it's getting introduced. But like you said, it's going to go so slowly. And I think the other thing is Hammernail to this is the biggest gap they've had in content. And I don't think they're going to wait that long between content anymore. Like you said, I think it's going to be more like every 4 months or so, you're going to get a new, like every 4 months is a new 10-man, every 4 months is a new 20-man. I think that's like going to be, you know, more of the standard. So you won't really matter, because by the time 4 months are over, what are you going to get in 4 months? Two pieces? It's like, you know, what's the
exactly.
difference?
Seriously, 50 days for one piece. That's one of the 50 pieces, mind you, which is if they stick with the kind of rate that they've been using for the tier gear, it's going to be two pieces for 50 marks, two pieces for 80 marks, and two pieces for 100 marks. So it's going to take you 100 days to get the two cheapest pieces. That's a little bit over 3 months. You're almost, that's almost up to about when we're going to start seeing, you know, stuff for the next 20 man, which for all we know could be another tier. I mean, tier two of rating being Hammernail and Rise of the Phoenix, that's all they gave us. They gave us a 20 man and a 10 man, and then they moved us up a tier. So if they do that again, we're going to be on tier four raids in 4 or 5 months.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And in 5 months, you're looking at 150 days, that's 150 marks. Well, if you bought the two cheapest pieces, the 250 pieces, then you've got 50 marks left. You're 30 marks shy of buying your next cheapest piece. Woohoo! You bought two pieces. You know, plus 2 months after Infernal Dawn comes out, we're gonna see a 10 man. What do you think that 10 man's gonna give you? Infernal marks. You know what I mean? Then the gear's gonna start becoming easy to farm, because you'll be able to do it in Infernal Dawn and in the 10 man. And more people are going to be working on Infernal Dawn by then and stuff. But, you know, even if you never touch those raids, like I said, it's going to take you 200 days or 180 days just to get three pieces. You can't even make the four-piece bonus yet. So I think people are overreacting. I think having one mark available from a daily random is fine. I think if they started adding Infernal Marks to other methods, such as, like, you can get them from doing weekly raids, which is an alternative that people have proposed, is so that people actually still have to raid for the marks, is award infernal marks if you do, like, the weekly boss kill in River of Souls or Greenscale's Blight or Hammernail. Add a Hammernail and Rise of the Phoenix weeklies. That's a good option, too, I think. But, I mean, considering that it's a raid, you're not going to give them one. You're going to give them, like, I don't know, two or three. So what, they might get one piece in 2 or 3 months? I mean, why is it such a big deal? Let us have the one for a daily random.
Yep.
In 1.8, we're also going to see some new crafting, right? Which is something that people have been craving, is some improvements to the crafting stuff. I really thought that they were going to change, like, the crafting system or something. But these improvements to crafting, really, all we've seen so far, unless they have more that we haven't seen yet, survival and fishing, which can be picked up by anybody. They don't take up a slot. Everybody is going to be able to have survival and fishing in addition to the three crafting professions that you already have. Survival is going to have tents and bandages and stuff like that, and then fishing is pretty obvious. I'm guessing that fishing is probably going to be like combination fishing and cooking. I'm not sure. Might be part of survival. Probably going to be like raid consumables and stuff, you know, stat boosts from cooking certain kinds of fish and things like that. So that's cool, you know, that we're going to see that, but that's not anything that I see as being like, oh my god, improvements. And they've added new armor and weapons that are going to be on par for starting Infernal Dawn, just like they did with the Hammernail crafted sets. And those are going to take a little bit more effort to craft. You can try to sell these on the auction house, like, after you've crafted your own set, but is it really worth it? Like, are you going to, when this stuff comes out, are you going to, Joe, go to the auction house and drop 300 platinum on a crafted piece, or are you just going to craft it yourself?
I'm creating it myself because it's going to be dramatically cheaper to craft it myself.
Exactly. Or you're going to farm the mats. If you can't craft it, you farm the mats, and you either have a guildmate craft it, which is probably what most people are doing, because everybody's in some sort of guild, you know what I mean? You can go to a guildmate, have them craft it, or just spam out in 50 chat. Be like, hey, my mats, I'll tip you 20 plat, come make this for me.
Yep, and I've been saving my crafted marks, so I'm definitely going to buy that pattern, so I might actually buy it myself. But I don't know if they actually release something. Marks is going to cost for the patterns.
I'm not sure about the patterns. I believe there's a new crafting material that costs 8 marks, Master Craftsman marks, but I'm not sure about the patterns.
All right, well, either way, even if I don't craft them myself, like you said, it's easy enough just tipping someone and make them craft them and give them the mats.
Yeah, which will probably cost you a lot. People will probably be charging, like, hey, you have to give me 100 plat, even if you have your own mats, simply because they're one of few people that actually has the recipe right then. But I give it a month, and things will settle down, and we're going to be in the same spot with crafting that we're at right now, where if you need something, you craft it yourself, or you have somebody else craft it. And there's no real profit to be made off any of it.
Even I even considered making those tempered orichalcum bars that I can make, some of mine are every day. And people sell them for about, like, I check every day. They never really go any higher than 16, 17 platinum per. And the lowest I've seen them is like 14 something. And they cost like 8 and 8, almost 9 platinum to craft. So, wow, I make 6 platinum a day. Whoop-de-doo.
Yeah, it doesn't add up. And especially like apothecary, never got apothecary doesn't have anything specific to apothecary, like the set armor pieces and stuff. That's something that they really need to work on is and I believe runecrafting even too, I think. Although runecrafting, everybody needs runes, so it's a little bit easier to make small profits that add up quickly because you can make runes in such bulk. But for apothecary, all you really have that's worth it is like flasks. And you're making flasks not for you're not going to make flasks and sell them on the auction house. Like if you go to the auction house in Deepwood and search for flasks, or even search for like burning power stones or witch stones or whetstones or any of the weapon enchants, you don't really find a lot of them. And it's because people are just crafting them for themselves. Because if you're looking for those sort of materials, it means that you're raiding. And if you're raiding, it means you're in a guild that has people that can make that stuff for you. So apothecary is nothing more than like a flask bitch. You can't really make a lot of profit off it.
Not to sound completely retarded, but do apothecaries make augments?
Apothecaries can make augments, but that would have been an awesome spot to give them something unique, is give them like a way better than normal augment. But the augments that they can make are fairly standard or less than some of the augments that you can find or that you can buy, because you can buy augments with craftsman marks. You can go to the vendor and you can buy the augment boxes. So it doesn't even matter that apothecary can make them because you can get them elsewhere.
You know what they probably should have done is they probably should have just given seals to them, because they have seals for every specific profession in 1.8. They could have just given the slot seal entirely to apothecaries.
My first reaction is to agree with you, but seals, I mean, the epic seals are going to be plus 33 to a prime stat. So it's plus 33 strength or plus 33 wisdom. And I think that would be too powerful maybe for one profession to have, because there's probably not a lot of apothecaries out there, something that you have to consider too. And they would be able to make such an obscene amount of profit off being the only ones that could craft those, you know? They would be the only
Yeah,
profession
but
that would be able to really make that kind of profit.
it's one of those slots though that you're literally gonna craft once and then not worry about it for months and months until like the next tier comes out. You know what I mean? So it's not like it's like a normal armor slot where it's like ever changing. He'd literally be like, "Okay, give me a C. Okay, see you in 4 months."
I suppose that's true. So I mean, maybe it would have been a good option. Unfortunately, they didn't do it, but I really think they need to give apothecary specifically something that puts it on par for
They really should
profit
just make it
making or
so, the equivalence in WoW, Tor, any MMO that has like, like a alchemist type deal, where they have some sort of end game potion or something or elixir. I don't know why they haven't given them that. Though, to be honest, none of the professions have any boost. It's just that apothecary's crafting options, quite frankly, suck. Like mining or armor set don't have any like stat boosts like other games have. So I'm not that surprised that Apothecary doesn't have one, so if you gave them a stat boost like an elixir, you'd probably have to do the same thing for other professions.
So that would have been a great thing. I would love to see that though. Even if they did it across the board, I would love to see that. To see them add, bind on pickup recipes, end game bind on pickup recipes, or special consumables that you can only use if you're that profession, or just passive bonuses for having that profession maxed out. I like that idea, but they haven't done any of that. So basically, what I'm getting at with all this is, platinum is still going to be worthless because after the first month of 1.8, people are going to have their recipes ready, or their guildmates are going to have the recipes that they need, and they're just going to craft things themselves, have friends craft them. We're going to be in the same position that we're in now, where crafting pretty much is pointless.
Well, crafting has a point, but like you said, like there's no like there's no real economy in the game unless you're like straight up buying math, but then of course that doesn't, you know, that's because you're basically lazy.
I resent that. Okay.
Like, I purposely refuse to buy any tempered orc alchem bars. I crafted every single one because it's just so dramatically cheaper. It wasn't even funny. But, you know, I really, it's funny. Like, I always like games that really help the economy and, you know, all the money that have such value. But I gotta be honest, I don't mind it so much in this game because I like the fact that, like, everything is relatively cheap because of that exact fact. Like, Platinum isn't that, you know, how much value, so people aren't going to price things like obscenely high. So I can't really complain about it. I mean, obviously, I think eventually once we start rating and whatnot, I might see more problems with that. But as it stands right now, I really don't have that much problem with it. I don't think it's like ideal or anything, but...
Well, it doesn't directly impact the game or gameplay or anything, not having an economy, but it does kind of eliminate an entire mini-game almost to the end game is toying with the auction house and stuff, which I personally really enjoy, and a lot of people really enjoy. I have several friends that play. You remember Chunzi from World of Warcraft, from our old World of Warcraft guild? We had a guildmate when we were playing World of Warcraft. His name was Chunzi, and he was like a god at the auction house. He would literally sign in and spend hours a day just sitting in front of the auction house, just buying and selling and making a ton of profit, and that kid got rich. He had like something like, he had like 30,000 gold or 40,000 gold or something absolutely ridiculous like that.
He had way more than that. I had like 20,000 gold near the end. He had like, he had the gold cap, which was like,
oh yeah.
Yeah, he had the cap and then he had put money on his other characters because he was capped, which I believe was like 250,000 gold or something like that.
Jesus. But yeah, so I mean, the point is that it's kind of half the fun is feeling like what you're making is worth something and making that profit from it, and then having things that are worth turning around and spending your profit on, you know. And there isn't anything like that in Rift. And like I said, it doesn't break the game, it doesn't change gameplay, but it does eliminate an entire element to the end game.
Yeah, I really can't argue with that. I mean, they even had that add-on in for WoW Auctioneer, which was basically exactly for that purpose. So, but unless I see occasional thread here or there about it, but I don't see like so much uproar about it. So unless like Tryon themselves thinks it's a huge detriment to the game, I don't really foresee it being changed anytime soon.
Well, it's not that it's a detriment, it's just one of those areas that would richen Rift's content by improving on, you know, which is something that Tryon has shown that they want to do. You know, they're adding leaderboards and the raids and the master modes and whatever. You know, they're doing these little things that just kind of richen, you know, the feel of the game. And this would just be one of them that would be nice to see. And I think the player base has gotten used to crafting not being this game changing element to their character. I mean, you've seen the gear that my cleric's in. I'm not in full HK stuff, but I've got an HK weapon, which I believe is like number 3 or 4 out of my best in slot weapons. And I'm in like full raid tier 1 and stuff. I've never touched crafting. He doesn't have any professions at all. And he's ready to go. I can blow through Hammernail at any point right now with the gear he has.
That's why they really need to add bonuses to them. And by the way, not to completely go off tangent, but I'm actually really happy I don't really care about fishing, honestly. I think it's cool. I might even try it out, because it looks like how you actually fish is slightly different than World of Warcraft, but I'm not going to jump up and down or anything over it. But survival looks pretty awesome, mainly because of the bandages. I don't understand why games never launch your bandages. Seems like a pretty simple thing, but I think it's actually like really ideal, especially if you're someone who's like doing dailies or something where you don't want to rest constantly. And granted, the water, or what we want to call it in this game, is relatively fast. But bandages, assuming that they're, you know, on par with other games' bandages, like 3 or 4 seconds, I think it's a good addition to the game. And survival is basically cooking, to what you're asking before. Survival is basically cooking plus like tents. It's kind of a weird mixture, but I like it. I hope eventually they add like feasts and whatnot that WoW had for raiding.
That would be cool. You know, the big thing with bandages, I think, is going to be in PvP, and I'll probably try to save some of this to talk about with Chris and Mythblaze next week, too, because I want to go through all kinds of PvP stuff next week. But let's take a warrior, for example, which doesn't have very good healing for themselves. You know, they've got a full heal from Paladin and a couple of minor heal ticks if you spec into Reaver, which if you're doing Reaver in PvP, your damage is probably crap. You're not going to play Reaver. So they don't have a lot of self-healing options outside of just playing a tank spec that like heals when you block or something.
Yeah.
And so you can play like a DPS, a pure DPS spec like Warrior, and you know, you get your kill, you're still in combat, somebody's coming, you can line of sight around a corner and bandage. That's going to be game-changing.
Yeah, and Rogues are going to use it pretty much exactly how Rogues and WoW did. They vanished, ran away, bandaged.
Yeah. The fact that you can bandage, hopefully you can bandage in combat. If you can't, then bandaging is kind of worthless. But that's the real advantage, is that you can bandage in combat. I mean, you could fear something and bandage, or stun something and bandage. So that's gonna be game changing, especially for Rogues and Warriors that don't have anywhere near the kind of self healing capacity without losing that DPS, you know, that mages and clerics have.
I wonder if survival, the cooking aspect of it, will bring anything to the economy. Because in WoW, so many people refused to do cooking because it was kind of a pain in the ass, to be honest, to level it. So, you know, there was so many, and it's going to increase your stats, you know, just how eating certain foods did in World of Warcraft. So I wonder if that'll add anything to the economy, because people are definitely going to buy that stuff. That assuming it's, you know, any type of pain in the ass to level it.
I don't know. I think it might be more likely that people will buy the materials for that stuff, because there's obviously going to be a pretty good amount of fishing and farming to do, and well, I mean, fishing just isn't that exciting. So I'll probably do my survival thing, you know, and I'll probably level my fishing. But am I gonna fish and farm all the fish food that the fishing materials that I need for my survival to craft the stat foods? I might start off doing that, but eventually I'm gonna be like, I am so goddamn tired of fishing, and I'm just gonna buy those materials off the auction house. So I mean, that should help the economy. Because there's probably a lot of people like me that are just going to be way too lazy to sit there clicking a lure for hours on end.
Hey, you don't click a lure in this game.
Right, you click the button. Sorry, you hit an action button.
Feels like it's slightly different. I actually am going to give it a shot, because I didn't really give fishing its fair shot in WoW, just because it looks so dull that like I was just so, you know, disinterested. But I'll give it a shot. I think I might actually enjoy it to an extent. Obviously, I'm not going to be like those people who, like, I never could understand those people who would literally sit in World of Warcraft and fish, not just for like an hour, but they would sit there like hours on end. You know, they'd be like reading and like look up and like click the lure. I'm like, God, I could never do that.
That's what I used to do when I had to level my fishing on World of Warcraft, because I was actually put the game into a windowed mode, and I would shrink it down to a really, really small resolution and just throw it off in the corner somewhere, and then I'd like watch YouTube or browse the web or do something else, and then whenever I heard the little sound, I would just click it. You know, they could do something with fishing. I think fishing's on the PTS right now. I'm not really sure. I really need to get on
the
PTS.
Yeah, it is. Because I've seen videos of it.
Okay. Something that I haven't seen, though. I haven't seen anybody post this. I haven't seen any videos that talk about it or anything. Where you're going to get the certain fish from. Because World of Warcraft used to be that you had to go to specific spots in the world to get specific kinds of fish.
And then they changed it.
Yeah, they changed it because you had to actually go to, like, Durotar, like, the level 10 zone, and start your fishing there, and then you would slowly work up through the zones as you leveled your fishing. Now, I don't know if I want to see it like that, but it would be interesting if, regardless of the level of the zone, specific fish were required for specific things, and you had to go to certain areas of the world to get those specific fish, you know what I mean? But you could rank up your fishing at any lake, at any body of water, anywhere in the world. It was just, you had to go to specific spots for certain kinds of fish. Because even though the fishing method isn't all that interesting, it might be fun to, you know that you have to go to the other side of Talara to get a certain kind of fish. Or there might be a really rare fish that comes up from this one really tiny body of water in the middle of the Amber Isle somewhere or something.
Stuff like that. That would actually intrigue me somewhat too.
It's kind of adds a little bit to maybe kind of like exploration, you know, because especially when fishing first comes out, if they do it like that, Tryon, if you're listening, do it like this. If they do it like that, you're not going to know where those fish come from. People are going to have to go exploring the lakes and fishing all the different lakes and bodies of water to try to figure out where all the fish come from.
Yep, exactly.
I want to talk about, you know, Infernal Dawn's coming out, and it's a Double Dragon instance, right? That sounds so funny. It reminds me of Double Dragon, like the old video games. Come on. Those were great. Who didn't love Double Dragon on Nintendo?
Most of the world.
Eat me. Grinscale and Killios, dead. Infernal Dawn's going to be out hopefully sometime in April. Maleforge and Lathys. As soon as Infernal Dawn comes out, let's consider Maleforge and Lathys dead, because they're going to be soon. That leaves us with 8 months left to the year. If Infernal Dawn comes out in April, 8 months left to the year. Tryon alternates 20-man, 10-man, 20-man, 10-man. Which means that if they stick with the schedule that they used to run on, you know, it's been a while since we've seen the new raid, but if they stick with the schedule that they used to run on, then it's roughly every couple of months we're going to see a new raid, and it's going to alternate between 10 and 20, which means April will be Infernal Dawn. 2 months later, we'll see a 10-man. 2 months later, we'll see a 20-man, which should be Crucia, the Dragon of Air. Then 2 months after that, we'll see another 10-man. And 2 months after that one, we'll see another 20-man. The only dragon left will be Regulos, and that will also be the end of the year. So I think December, January, we're going to see Regulos. Then what are we going to do?
I think that Tryon in general has so much more freedom with this game than WoW did or Tor. Though Tor has some flexibility because they're in a certain time of that universe where they can basically just invent whatever they want, to be honest. Because, you know, that time or era of that universe, you know, hasn't been depicted whatsoever. But Tryon's in the same boat that they can do whatever they want, you know, so it's not like WoW where they're so constricted by, you know, previous lore that was already written about. They could do literally whatever they want. So that's why I really have, I've seen a lot of people talk about this. Like, I don't think it's like everywhere, but I've seen quite a few people talking about this, and they all have the same question, like, what are they going to do when the dragons are dead? And I'm just like, they could do whatever they want, because they're not, you know, like I said, they're not constricted by any previous lore, so I really don't know why people are so worried about this. I understand that it seems kind of early, like, for the, like, essentially, like, the initial phase, or, you know, storyline of the game to be over already, and we're really, the game's still relatively young, or pretty damn young, actually.
Yeah, it's very young.
I just look at it as, like, the first chapter, you know? Like, in, you know, the next one will be the second chapter. I don't really look at it as, like, it has to be this huge, massive scope of a phase of the game. I actually rather than put stuff, like, to bed. I couldn't stand how WoW would drag stuff out. And I was like, okay, I don't really care about this whole storyline anymore. Just end it, for Christ's sake.
Well, sure, but it feels almost to me, I'm kind of worried about it being, like a bad sequel. You know what I mean? After Regulus is going to be like a bad sequel, because it's going to be like everything that we know about the world of Talara. The rifts, where they came from, why the Defiance went back in time, why the Guardians were resurrected as ascended. It's all Regulus. The whole history of like Mythosia and you know, the king of the Guardians side and or the king of Mythosia and everything going bad. And there's all kinds of stuff. And it all revolves around the machines and Regulos. So when he's dead, it's like, yay, Talara's saved. They're going to have to just come up with something completely new. It's going to be like Regulos is, I don't know, he had a sex with Crucia and had a son, and now we're fighting Reglucia.
I think, first of all, I don't think that Regulos is even going to get released this year, quite frankly, because number one, I don't think Infernal Dawn is getting released till closer to midway into May. Because original predictions were the end of the Carnival Ascended event, which I believe originally was like the 12th of May was the last date. I could be wrong about that, though. And, you know, with them pushing back Infernal Dawn for at least a week, you know, you probably won't see Infernal Dawn until probably the tail end of May. And then granted, like, other stuff usually comes out every 2 months, but, you know, I don't think it's going to be, like, exactly 2 months. It might be, like, 11 weeks, 10 weeks, something like that. So I think, like, you could almost get this closer to, like, springtime of 2013. And by that, like, they can introduce an entire new plot line with the, you know, like, before they get, when they're in, like, Crucia or whatever, which everyone is predicting is the following dragon, they can introduce a whole new storyline that by the time we even get to Regulos, like, he's almost, like, inconsequential. Because we know there's another chapter we're not looking at as, like, oh, this is the end, you know?
That'd be a pretty smart way to do it. You know what I just thought of, too, is I wonder if you think maybe we'll even kill Regulos? Maybe we won't even kill him. Maybe yeah, they've got a darker story planned. Maybe Regulos will actually, like, destroy Talara. Like, he'll actually fully succeed, and there is no going back in time to stop it. And now we're just 2013 dealing with the aftermath.
Yeah, It could be like Cataclysm.
Or the Warcraft. Don't say that. Don't say that. Don't do that.
Yeah, I actually really hope they don't do that. I mean, it's a cool storyline, but then like they're gonna have to make the world look all burnt and stuff, and I'm me running around like, oh look, it's World of Warcraft Cataclysm Edition. I just don't want to even think about that.
Well, it'd be a different a different reason why it happened.
Yeah, that's true. That's fair. But like I said though, I think, you know, somewhere what we just said is what's gonna happen. They're either gonna like make it so we don't even kill Regulus, or I hope that they introduce something previous to them. So it's not like, oh, you killed Regulus? Okay, here's what actually, you know, like here's a new thing. Like I hope it's not like so abrupt and like forced. It's something that you already knew like preemptively was gonna happen, basically.
Let's take World of Warcraft, for example, because it's got a ton of rich lore. It's been around forever. Let's look at like Wrath of the Lich King to Cataclysm, right? It was, you killed Arthas. Deathwing's back! Ah! Just introduce a new guy, just boom. You know, just suddenly. Like, I don't want it to be like that. I don't want it to be like a bad sequel. That's what I'm afraid of. And I don't know. Who will the bosses be? Like, who are the villains even going to be? Let's say we do kill Regulus. And let's say that, you know, it's December, January. Because if it isn't the end of the year, it'll probably be the beginning of 2013. That'll be like their big 2-year event is going to be the death of Regulus.
Yeah, that's what I said about springtime. So yeah, like March. Like that, March, April, around there. That'd actually be perfect.
That'll leave all of 2013 for whatever new storyline. So, I mean, who are we even going to fight? Like, what is even going to...
What's upset?
What are they even going to do?
They can introduce so many... There's so many possibilities. That's why, like, I don't even worry about it, you know? Because it's like, I'm waiting and I'm actually, like, curious. But at the same time, like, I think they'll do fine. Like, especially when they have this much time, like... I mean, they're still doing Infernal Dawn. They're, like, tweaking that. But they probably have some people who are already, like, you know, doing Crucia and the following Ten Man. Like, they're, you know, obviously they're not actually designing it, but they're probably doing, like, rough sketches and whatnot.
You think maybe that whatever direction they choose to go after Regulus in 2013 could have a direct impact on the game's success?
I think it depends how good these next few raids are. I mean, I think we both can agree that we both think Infernal Dawn is not going to just be good. It's going to be, like, epic as hell. I really think it depends how good the following raids are. If they're kind of lackluster, or not even lackluster, if they're just not quite like up to Hammernail or Infernal Dawn's previous expectations and level, but they're still decent instances, and then Regulus comes, people might actually be like, okay, move on to the next thing because, you know, this isn't really working then one. I think that if you go in a different direction, you can also, I think they also have to like design the instances in a certain manner to meet with the whole dragon type deal, you know? I think if they went in a different direction, they'd have more flexibility in how they design the instances. Because they're basically doing, like, an Earth Dragon, or Life Dragon, I'd say, with Greenscale, and this is, like, a fire, you know? So I feel like they actually have more options once the Dragon era is over.
I mean, I feel like Tryon, like I did about Blizzard back in Burning Crusade. Like, Tryon are, like, my heroes. Like, I am a Tryon fanboy. I think they're an amazing company. I love Rift. I'm going to be on the game forever. Like, even if it is a bad sequel, I'm probably still going to play it. Because what else am I going to play anyways?
If it's a bad sequel... It's not going to be like a straight-to-DVD sequel like Wrath of the Lich King was.
Great way to say it. Straight-to-DVD. Is Rift going to go straight-to-DVD in 2013? No, probably not. It probably won't be that bad. But
It'll be like Terminator 3, okay? Which isn't a terrible movie.
Oh, God, don't even start on it. Yeah, I still haven't watched that yet, you know, because of everything
I said 3, not 4. 4 is...
Oh, right.
4 is just never mind.
No, go ahead, Joe. What's 4?
4 is probably the worst movie ever to date, mainly because there are so many plot holes that obviously no one in the production team, no one read the previous plot lines of, you know, the first three movies or watched them, because there's so many, any, you know, idiot could point them out. So it's almost like mesmerizing that it got to the screen without someone being like, hey, that's a pothole, let's fix that.
What was your favorite scene again in Terminator Salvation? The USB or whatever on the bike, and he like plugs in and it's hacked?
My favorite scene, it's that. It's because they trip over these two Terminator motorcycles, which earlier in the movie got knocked over by like this like huge Transformer ripoff. It was like a monstrous machine Terminator, but it looked just like a Transformer. It was retarded. I was like, oh, look, it's Megatron. But anyway, it knocked over the two motorcycles, and they instantly popped back up, like within like a split second. But for some reason, when John Connor knocks him over with normal rope, they can't get up. And then his human body weight Which, like, how heavy is Christian Bale? Like 180 pounds? He's not really that big. He can hold down like a 3-ton, you know, titanium bike, apparently. And then he pulled out his BlackBerry, because apparently in 2019 we still use, I think it was 2019, 2017, something like that. We still use BlackBerries from like 2002, because the thing was monstrous. And then we plug in a USB plug, because of course the bike had a USB port on the side, and we click hack. Because that's how you hack. You click the button hack on your phone, and it just works for that. I go on and on that, but let's end that quickly.
Probably a good idea. Rift Overcast is recorded every Wednesday night and aired every Friday morning each week. Coming up next week, PvP with Community Voice guest host Chris N, aka Mythblaze. If you have an area of Rift you're especially passionate about or have extensive experience in, we want to have you on the show. Simply send us an email at riftovercast@gmail.com with a little background about yourself and your desired topics. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/riftovercast. On Twitter at Rift Overcast, and on YouTube at youtube.com/Rift Overcast. Subscribe to us on iTunes through the iTunes Store or via the iTunes link on our website, riftovercast.blogspot.com. And as always, we love to hear from our listeners, so be sure to leave us a comment below or on any of the previously mentioned sites, Facebook, Twitter, or email, and we will see you next week.